Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 19, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter May 19, 2020. Unemployment is becoming the new reality in the world. Government's foremost concern will be to establish social support for the population in the form of a universally accepted, guaranteed income, in exchange for taking part in an across-the-board, nationwide educational program. You be the more I connect to the 10, imagining the creator who is there, the more I tune my soul, like a musical string in relation to other strings. The group should tune itself like a violin so everyone will be as one man with one heart. Then the creator will be revealed. From Twitter, May 19, 2020. What the coronavirus will teach us? Question. The coronavirus makes us afraid of being in close proximity to each other. Doesn't this lead to greater separation between people? Answer. The virus doesn't lead us to greater distance from each other but to the realization of how we should be getting closer to each other correctly. Until now, as egoists, we only get closer to others in order to use them for our benefit. Thus, the virus pushes us further away from each other. In the not too distant future, it will teach us how to master the correct intention, internal movement, toward each other so we will get closer without harming one another. You will see this soon. The coronavirus is very complex and multifaceted. It is not simply a virus but a very wise program from nature that manifests in us and makes us reprogram ourselves in terms of our relations. Question. Why did the virus appear now rather than, let's say, a year ago? Answer. In general, this question always exists. I'm not sure how to answer it. It is just that our impact on nature reaches a certain threshold at which point we cause its negative influences upon us. The fact is that it is not negative, on the contrary, it is correcting us, moving us forward. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 5, 2020. Medium published my new article COVID-19 will heal our hearts and then our bodies. One of the most remarkable phenomena surrounding the coronavirus is characteristic of our time, conspiracy theories. There have been countless theories about the origin of the virus, the effectiveness of various medicines, the strategies of dealing with it, and just about every aspect of the war against COVID-19. What's more, they all seem to come from reliable sources. As for me, I doubt that anyone knows the answer to any of the questions, including those who are certain that they do. From my perspective, the virus isn't even our biggest problem. Were it not for the virus, we would be suffering from something else and people would still be dying in droves. Worse yet, they would not even fight against their suffering or stop to think about its reason. They would simply accept it as an act of fate and miss out on the opportunity for change. Luckily, the virus has stopped us in our tracks. It made us question our civilization. Luckily, the virus has stopped us in our tracks. It made us question our civilization. Everything has been put to the test, from food supply to work, education, entertainment, religion and faith, governments and governance, and human relations. When we emerge from the coronavirus crisis, we must embrace only those elements of civilization that are truly necessary, and truly make our lives better. Anything that does not improve our lives makes them worse, and must therefore be dumped. If we scrutinize ourselves sincerely and boldly, we will come out the other end of the scrutiny as a strong and confident humanity. If we avoid the chance to clean up the mess, a second, harsher wave of germs will strike and we will still be forced to comply. Under our noses, the rules of the game have changed. Capitalism isn't working anymore. It cannot work when every person is dependent on every other person in the global village. Ruthless competition and a dog-eat-dog economic policy do not work when one sick person shuts down the entire world. A different policy is required, which takes all of humanity into account, or the domino effect seen with COVID-19 will take the whole system crashing down. Today's rule of thumb should be unity. Every regulation, directive, law, and act must begin with questioning its contribution to global unity. If it does not, it is certain to do more harm than good and must be struck off from the agenda. Today my words may seem like fantasy, but tomorrow we will find that they are the only possible reality. And what is true for all of humanity is true for all of nature. Just as we have been fighting against one another, we have been fighting against nature. We have tried to harness and exploit it for our purposes. We have trampled every living creature and every piece of land and water. We have left nothing clean or healthy. Is it any wonder that finally, nature is sending us diseases? It would probably be more sensible to ask why it had not done so before. Yet, nature isn't trying to destroy us. The coronavirus is not a threat to the existence of humankind. If anything, it will make us and our environment healthier and cleaner. We want nature to be kind to us, yet we mistreat and abuse it wherever and however we can. Can we expect it not to set us straight? In order to avoid nature's painful teachings, we must realize two things. 1. Everything is connected to everything else. Whatever each of us does impacts the entire system. 2. To mend our relations with nature, we must work on our own nature. We cannot be kind to all the trees and at the same time mean to all the people, but if we are kind to all the people, we will also be kind to all the trees, animals and all that exists. The coronavirus will not let go of us, so we will not think that we can come out of it in any way besides mutual connection. This is where our easy and pleasant existence is found. These positive connections are the cure for COVID-19 and for any other virus. If we change our hearts toward each other, no virus will sicken our bodies. Coming out of quarantine, part 1. The entire world on sick leave. Lifting the quarantine measure seems to lift a huge weight from a person's mind, lets him breathe a little, and returns color to his life. He no longer feels like he is on the edge of a knife. Shouldn't we be happy about it? But on the other hand, having had time to pause and think, we understand that life before the coronavirus was not that carefree. So, is it worth going back to the previous race? We do not realize that our development was wrong. As an egoistic society, we moved from one blow to another, from one crisis to the next. We will never reach happiness this way because we are only trying to dodge the blows, to escape problems that constantly overcome us. Nobody enjoys such a life, as it is said. Against your will you are born, against your will you live, and against your will you die. We simply get used to the fact that this is life and we accept it as a given for lack of choice. And here comes the coronavirus, and for the first time in history, we are beginning to feel that we are part of one humanity. This blow reaches everyone. It is like one human body that spreads over the entire earth. The head is in America, the body in England. One hand in Russia, the other in South America, and legs in Australia. All of a sudden, this body in an instant receives a blow, then another, and another. It is not that first one place is struck and then another. No, the blow hits everybody at once. It is just that everybody feels it differently, just like every organ in our body perceives pain differently. The coronavirus made us feel that we are all connected into one system. And this is a great discovery. All of a sudden, the whole world got shaken at once, not because oil prices fell, a volcano erupted, or a tsunami hit land. The problem did not hit any particular sector. Rather, all systems ceased to work. And it is not their fault. It happened because of the human factor. Men stopped working. It has never happened before at such a scale around the entire world. Man is sick and cannot work. This is a definite proof of the fact that it is time for us to think about human society as a single system where we are all connected, depend on each other, and must care for each other. There is no room left for competition, or similar viruses will knock us out more and more. That is why the coronavirus can be considered a redeemer of humanity. This is not a virus but a global revelation of the fact that human society is one integral community connected with ties in all directions. Nobody can feel good if someone in the world feels bad. Either we all feel bad or we all feel good. This insight comes thanks to the coronavirus. It follows that the virus is not a disaster but a remedy that will heal humanity a little, will correct its vision by bringing it closer to the truth. From CAB TV's New Life 1232, May 5, 2020. Michael Lateman, on Quora, has the new coronavirus infected any children? As we start to reopen the economy, we see an anticipated intensification of the coronavirus unfolding. It's infecting more and more children. In the United States, United Kingdom and Spain, children are getting infected and dying. As we continue the coronavirus era with the predicament of trying to get the economy moving again, we need to use our inventiveness and ingenuity to find new solutions to this new problem. In other words, now, when our tight interdependence and interconnectedness is staring us in the face, we need to think about how we can realize such interdependence and interconnectedness positively. More than ever, we are being shown how our health depends on the health of everyone around us, and so we are necessitated to each take personal responsibility for the health of others. In other words, we have been placed into a situation where we depend on our mutual responsibility and consideration of each other in order to survive and live healthy lives. With the increasing cases of children becoming infected, a new red alert sounds. Not only are we dependent on each other, now our children, who we thought were immune to this disease, are just as dependent. Therefore, I hope we will move forward with more consideration and responsibility of each other, as we will be increasingly shown how living lives of indifference, estrangement and neglect of each other will only lead to more and more problems and suffering. Seeds of Exile, Part 3. When a common root is missing. Remark: at the beginning of our era, Judea was ruled not by kings and spiritual leaders, but by Roman governors. At that time, the people were highly polarized, and a huge number of sects based on ideological differences appeared. Nevertheless, the desire to regain sovereignty among the people did not fade. In the year 66, the country rose in a riot, which became the First Judean War. It is interesting that, in fact, the rebels tried to restore the lack of spirit by force of arms. We know how strong the Roman and Greek armies were, but the Jews almost constantly won the wars. My comment: yes, they could fight. Although, of course, they mostly fought in spirit. Remark: in one of his letters, Baal-ha-Sulam writes, "The sages claimed that the reason for the destruction of the Second Temple was not idolatry, but unfounded hatred, because they could not fulfill the basis of the Torah: love your neighbor as yourself." My comment: exactly this unfounded hatred became the basis for the destruction of the Second Temple. Unfounded means that people did not put the connection between them at the top of their existence. You cannot rise above any cause in your hatred of the other, to be together with him in unity. That is, unfounded hatred is equivalent to the concept of causeless love. Remark: but this is already the opposite side. My comment: yes. This is how it should be seen, because the reason for hatred can always be found. Question: still, what does unreasonable mean? Answer: it means that you do not even need to look for reasons to hate. You still do not love him, do not want to live with him, be friends, and communicate. Question: where does this come from? Answer: from human nature. Remark: the most interesting thing is that this was observed only among Jews. My comment: yes. The fact is that other peoples have a common root. So, their hatred for each other always has a reason. At the same time, they still consider the harm-doer one of their own, as a brother hates a brother, despite the fact that I hate him, he is still my fellow native. The Jews do not. Here the hatred between people is such that they do not feel a brother in the other. They do not feel it. He is not mine, he belongs to another, completely alien tribe, the opposite of me. Remark, that is, if there is no ideology that Moses described in his laws, then, in principle, the people do not understand what they have in common. My comment, they have nothing in common. And so, there is no reason to be together. Remark, Flavius Josephus in the Jewish Wars puts the following words into the mouth of one of the generals, God is a better general than I am. He will give the Jews free of charge into the hands of the Romans, and give victory to our armies without difficulty or danger. While our enemies are slaughtering each other because of the terrible curse of brotherly war, it is better for us to look at them from afar and sit quietly instead of interfering in the conflict of people who are going to their death, fighting madly among themselves. My comment, first, Josephus Flavius, being a Jew himself, understood their nature very well. It was obvious what was really going on. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 8, 2019. Why do adults feel a game is a lie? Question: why do children play naturally and wholeheartedly, but for an adult, playing a game feels like a lie? We, adults, do not really like to play. Answer: but we play all the time. Comment: maybe unknowingly. But if you tell me now, let's play some game. My response: you will answer, I don't have time. I am busy with serious matters. Even though all serious matters are totally make-believe. For children, the game is a clear and conscious necessity for them to develop, to fill their time and thoughts. They feel the meaning of their existence in it. For them, the game is very important. Look at a young child who is sick and has a fever, but he still plays. And an adult is no longer able to play. Therefore, this game that the Creator started with us needs to be seen as the most important thing. Then we will see that every moment in our lives is valuable because we can take it as a game with the Creator. In fact, everything we see around us is played out by the Creator. He engages us in such a way that through this whole setting, through the entire world, olam, from the word halama, concealment, and through this disguise, we will be connected with Him. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 25, 2019. Qualitative connection. Question: you say that now qualitative connections should prevail over quantitative ones. What characterizes a qualitative connection? What are its properties and characteristics so that we can easily enter it? Answer: qualitative connection is when we prefer emotional, cordial relationships between us, mutual assistance. When we understand the goal as one common element and universal connection as a means to achieve this goal. We need to build such a state between us that it would be like a network in which we would find the Creator. The creation of such a system of relationships in which according to the equivalence of form the Creator is revealed should be our work. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 22, 2020. New Life 1223. A Time for Soul Searching.
Shalom lachem, toda shetem mitzarfim elenu.
Hello and thank you for joining us. We're here with Chaim Chadashim, A New Life, a series of conversations with Dr. Michael Reitman. Hello, Rav, hello. The number of our program today is 1103. We will speak with Rav Lightman about soul search or accounting. Rav, we're in the days of Corona. People are now talking about self-scrutiny. The world needs to do a self-scrutiny of soul search. How does it come here? Where should it move on? I remember this notion of self-accounting. Usually, I made it during the period of Yom Kippur. They say during Yom Kippur, you should do some introspection, self-accounting. Now, when around us people are speaking about doing this, as an individual, I don't find myself in this, so I want to find myself there. So I guess the first question is, should I, a normal person, should I do this self-introspection? That's my first question. Rav, why should you do it specifically in Yom Kippur? Well, in Yom Kippur, it is customary to do it. Well, you know, how have we come here? Where are we going? Rav, this is customary, right? Yes, but there's nothing about it that specifically relates to Yom Kippur. It's just a custom. But you should do this self-examination, maybe on a daily basis. How did the day go by? What have I done? Did I hurt anyone? Did anyone hurt me? What did I do with myself? Take into examine my life. The person, God forbid, gets a certain blow or some illness, or maybe in general he's about to die, then he self-examines, and it's not on Yom Kippur. This is why we should always do this self-examination. Also, when you read the prayer of Kriyat Shema on your bed, you should also do this as a self-examination. Owen, I get that. So you're saying a person should, each and every day, should self-examine himself. Right, that's right. All right. Still, I want to speak about special times. During the time that we are now reading, at the time of the corona, is that a good time for personal introspection? Well, certainly, yes. We're getting blows, such great blows, blows that are global all around the world, blows that have to do with the whole of humanity. Why is it happening? What have we done? What is nature doing to us? What is happening to us? We don't know. Therefore, it's worthwhile for us to have this introspection. I can identify with it on the global scale. That is, the leaders of the world, leaders of these countries, those countries should do introspection. But how should I, as an individual, how am I related to this story? Rav, look, all in all, each and every one is living in this world, influencing this world, not only once every few years when he goes to vote in elections. But in general, each one of us has an impact on his nearby environment, on the faraway environment. All in all, we are causing changes in nature. And nature, because it is an integral global system, balanced to begin with, this is how it needs to be, it suffers when we cause it imbalance. And therefore, we feel this imbalance, all in all, through such phenomena such as now, the coronavirus and other such things. We always feel what we feel from nature. We feel it as a response to our influence on the system of nature. It's either good influences or bad influences. Is it related to me, to my personal life? Well, say that it doesn't. Even now, you're at home, sitting with your family, instead of working, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. For the time being, you have what to eat, and you're given all of these services, like electricity, water, etc., all the utilities for free. I don't know how, but they give it to you. What will happen later? That's a great question. Well, I feel in this period of time mostly the desire for it to end. So I'm in favor that the one who is managing this world will do an introspection, like you said. but myself as an individual, what I'm focused on is not thinking about myself, like you said before in Yom Kippur, where am I, where is my life? Your first sentence was, did I hurt someone today, something like that. I'm not in such thoughts. Now, all I'm thinking about is that I'm waiting for it to end. They stay, you know, sit home, don't get out. So I stay home, I don't get out. Rav, that's not wise. Am I missing something? Rav, yes, first of all, you're missing out the fact that you are here in some process where the whole of humanity is being treated as a single system. The whole of humanity has entered one blow around the globe, around Earth. You understand what it is? This is something that has never occurred on such dimensions. In world war, all kinds of such things, hurricanes, etc. There's a part that is suffering, another part is not suffering. But here it is truly a global blow. And now we're beginning to see that we are standing opposite nature, the whole of humanity, all of us are against nature. And here, we need to do another kind of calculation, introspection. What is going to happen when we are so incongruent with nature, so much so that nature is sending out such viruses? When you are now speaking about all of us being opposite nature, the whole of humanity, and we need to calculate what's going to happen, etc., I identify with that. What I don't manage to grasp is whether I, myself, a single person among the billions living in the world, am I personally somehow connected to this story? Rav, you see that you're connected according to the punishment that you received, right? You have no work, and who knows if you will have it. The family is sitting at home. Everybody is wasting time, children are not studying, the wife is next to you all the time, pressuring you, etc., etc. That is, we feel this blow. On that level, absolutely we feel the blow, down to each and every bone. But Rav, people are writing about it, it's written in all kinds of places, people are suffering. That's right. Rav, we didn't receive the education or the habits to be at home 24 hours. Completely, in terms of my personal suffering, I feel it absolutely. What I don't get is in terms of the introspection, my personal introspection. Am I required to do introspection? Rav, yes. How else is it possible to pressure you and everyone in the world, everyone, in a way that will be more uniform? Tell me that you will all sit at home, you and the Bedouin someplace and an American person in his luxury apartment and others in some rundown places, or everyone and, you know, in the favelas in Rio de Janeiro, everyone is in the same situation, everyone are isolated at home, they have to be with their family, with the children, sitting down, can't move. Out of this picture that truly touches each and every person, it doesn't matter what country is living in today, do you come out with the conclusion that we are all required to personally introspect? Rav, all of us, Rav, yes, of course. It is clear that there was never such a blow to everyone. Now, you're making it a connection of one-to-one. Because the blow is to everyone, this means that everyone have to introspect, me and you and each and every one of us. Rav, as much as it touches each and everyone, but it will touch each one to his bones. Okay, so let's finish our first part of the discussion here. I, Oren, at this period of time, must also introspect. Rav, yes. Okay, let's move on to the next discussion. If I need to introspect, I'll be happy to learn from you. What does it mean? What should I check? What should I examine in my introspection? Rav, what have you heard? What have you done so that nature has liberated this coronavirus and it is paralyzing you? Nature is doing things instinctively. If you reach a certain action that is already something that nature cannot discuss, agree with, it cannot agree with this action, then nature brings out a response. The response is what you are now feeling. What is nature saying? The best thing in the current situation is for you, all of you, to sit bound at home, away from each other, inside of your families, and you will not be connected with each other until you realize what is the right form in which you have to be connected. Because your whole life, on the human level, where we are all bound, connected in a terrible way, and also in industry, and you're truly destroying the planet without any calculation and without any need. And also in terms of the behavior between you, in the governments and armies and everything, you, in all the different areas, in all the different domains that you're engaging in, you reach a situation where I, says nature, cannot tolerate it. Because I am an integral system, and you have reached a state where you are entirely opposite. Meaning, lately, we have done something that is already an inversion, where we're completely not integral. We don't belong to the integral system at all. And then comes the response. And the response on the side of nature is actually very, I would say, merciful response. Well, a minute before we talk about the response, I want to stop here and scrutinize the first point. When I asked you what I need to examine, your first sentence that I wrote down was, what have you hurt? So what have I done? What did I hurt? What did I hurt? You mean whom did I hurt? Like we say on Yom Kippur that we have to arrange the relations between a person and his friend. What do you mean, what did I hurt? Rav, what did I hurt? I hurt the integrality of the system that I'm living in. Me, Oren? Rav, yes, you as well. What is the integrality of the system? Because we are living in a system that is entirely integral. All of its parts are all related to each other. All of the rules of nature are about how to complement different phenomena together into an integral form. And we are not operating in such a way. Well, an example for an integral form, I want to say, let's say that your wife is sitting at home. You have many children. You must be at home and prepare everything so that the family can exist in a way that, well, she's cooking, doing laundry. She has plenty of work, you know, right? Or, and that's for sure. The question is, who can afford for his wife to be a housewife nowadays? But let's say that one has this luxury. Let's say, and you're working from morning to evening like a donkey. Rav, yes, let's say, in order to provide for the home. Right. Rav, and you at home, you and your wife are calculating how can you divide everything that you're doing at home, how should everything be, how can you divide it so it will be for the benefit of everyone, right? So the little ones get whatever little ones need, first of all, then the grown-ups and the older ones, etc. Whatever remains is for you and your wife, right? That's clear? Yes, this is how each and every family does it, right? So, why is this correct? Why is this good? And we hardly need to get into the laws within the family. Because we understand that this is how it needs to be. Otherwise, there won't be a nice relationship between the couples and the way that they relate to the children, the way the children relate to them, etc. That's clear. And this is how it is across all cultures and all times, pretty much. Now, this is how it is in a family. Right. Right. And if we will give, let the family exist correctly, this is how they'll manage themselves, right? Let's say. Our problem is that the modern society is corrupting things, entering the family as well, and corrupting the relationships there. But let's say this is how it is. But this is only with respect to the family, with respect to something which is, let's say, that the whole nation is one family, or even the whole world is one family. For that, we cannot take any example, and we have no inclination to that. I don't see in that immediately a response. And accordingly, I cannot correct myself with the right relation to them. There used to be this notion of a village or a city. So the inhabitants of the village or the city would take care of themselves. Now there is something also, but it's all about politics, it's all dirty, etc. But actually, our question is the following. When will we be able to care as we care for the right family? How will we be able to care in such a way also for the village or the city or the country and also the countries of the entire world? So this is the introspection. Yes, this is the introspection that we need to do, that everyone will be connected in an integral way, the correct way. Of course, it's not that everyone will have the same thing. You cannot divide it in a way that each one has $1,000, that's it. No, you have to take into account what are their demands, what are their needs, what states they're in, each and every one. You have to get into it, just like you're with a family, as you speak to your wife. Well, for this child we need this, for that child, well, he's sick, God forbid, we need to give him that, etc. This is how we need to constantly care for the whole world. If we will care for the whole world in such a way, there's no room for viruses, coronaviruses or anything. I get that. I have a question with your permission. Rav, yes. This calculation sounded to me like a social, economic approach, how to divide the budget. I realize that what we need to change is our mode of thought, let's say, on the national level, at the level of the country, the state. What I don't understand is how this is related to my personal introspection, me, Oren. I'm not the one handing out budgets. I'm not the prime minister or the ministry, minister of the treasury. But you get these budgets, right? Or I pay taxes and I get whatever I get. This is how it starts and ends. That's incorrect. It's not good that this is how it starts and ends. It must not begin somewhere so that it wasn't there before, and it never should end. It has to be integral. It has to be there all the time inside of the general system, and humanity must always check itself like you do in a family. What should I buy for him? How should I arrange this? How should I fix something for him and do something for him? For her, the way you care for the family. That's right, I care for my families and I do these calculations in my family. So who will care for this family, being the world? Or even a city, the mayor will take care of it? Of course, why is he the mayor? I elected him so he will take care of everyone. I'm paying my city tax, right? But sir, this is exactly what nature wants to show you. So I'm not getting it. Please make it clear to me. What does nature want to show me? Rav, don't buy with money, but you have to buy in the heart. It's not going to work. You have to be concerned in your heart what is happening to us. When will we be connected as one man in one heart, like in a family? And we will care. I understand you don't have the heart to care for everyone. I cannot feel your family or other families, etc. But together, all of us have to be connected in such a way that we will care for it. Nevertheless, we will come closer to it, and then nature will be friendly to us, because then we're building a single system. We too, just like the steel, vegetative and animate, will enter a single uniform system, and not that we are truly hostile there, bringing hostility. I would like us to move on and break down this subtitle of personal introspection into details, like with a checklist, make a list of things that I have to carry on. Let's try to put together this list. What is the first question that I should ask myself in the introspection that I, Oren, am doing? What's the first question? Ralph, if I'm going to have this introspection with my concern for the whole world, of course I will see myself that I am missing out, I'm all confused. In short, it's better not to even start it. It will just end up being a mess. I will show you, well, I'll tell you a story. I was studying once in Russia that the Bolsheviks, following the revolution, when after the revolution they had, they wanted to create such a system that takes care of everyone until the very last detail in every person's life. That is, how much do you need, what do you need precisely, and all the time this should be in the scale of the entire country. Let's say 100 million people. They made the calculation. There were many Jews there also. They were thinking about it, calculating it, and they saw that this was impossible. Then they left it, and a whole mess was created, and it all fell. But there are documents that talk about it. There are books that they wrote about how they were planning to take care of each and everything. What am I trying to say? Without developing love, you cannot begin to care for each and every one. And Bala Sulam also writes in the well-known articles that you're familiar with, like The Last Generation. Who is Bala Sulam? Rav Yehuda Ashlag. He writes in his essays about The Last Generation how we should relate to all of these things, take them into consideration. But actually, even though he doesn't write about love there, well, he writes about it, but in a way that, for sure, it has to be the foundation. Without this kind of attitude, we cannot perform calculations that are, how should I put it, well, dry calculations. I cannot enter each and every family. How much do you need? And how much do you need? And how much do you need? Etc., etc., etc. Nevertheless, I mean, he writes about it. He does write that there are people who come to each and every door and they ask and they check and they send whatever is missing, etc. But we need to understand that these things can work. They can work only on the condition that we are all tied to one another with love, that we understand and we feel what is the need of each and every one in that. So I'm going back to it. I realize this. What is the first question that I should ask myself in my personal introspection of Oren? What is the first question? Rob, do I have love for humanity? For humanity? What, for all 8 billion people, or how many they are? Ralph, well, let's say start with your country, 8 million people.
Okay.
How do I check if I have love for the entire country? Rav, are you willing to share with them, with everything you have? Of course not, I don't even have to check. Rav, how come? Why should I share with them? We are talking about an attitude of love. If you're asking why yes, why no, because let's say that you do feel love towards them, then certainly you would share with them with everything that you have, just like you do in the family. I am willing to share with the whole country with only one thing, that I will pay the taxes that are required of each and every citizen. I won't steal from income tax, I'll pay taxes, this is where it starts and ends. You want to pay more taxes? Okay, you can make the taxes higher, I'll pay those as well, because I realize that we have to work it out during this, during this crisis. That's where it ends. Right. Okay, so you're a decent citizen and you truly want to be honest with yourself and with others and with the law. I understand it. Precisely. Right. But nature is requiring more of us. What are you going to do? Even if all of us we're enlightened and wise, and all of us would be righteous, as we say in the Haggadah of Passover, right? Yes, I remember. Rav, that's it. But it's not enough. Nature wants us to feel all of us as one man in one heart. What can we do? It wants it. So what are we going to do? I don't want it, you don't want it, none of us wants it. It's great work to work against this egoistic desire and start to take others into consideration, but what can we do? This is why we must understand the necessity. It's not that I have to, that I'm being pressured. I need to bring myself to a state where I will tell myself, Michael, you have to reach that, because this is the highermost law of nature. You don't understand that. You don't feel it. You're constantly thinking about how will it be more comfortable for yourself. Look how you sit, how you drink, what are you eating, what are you doing, what are you thinking about. It's always for your own benefit. But nature is demanding you to elevate yourself above it, and instead of thinking about yourself, you think about everyone. And you have to think in such a way. So you can say, I'm not capable of it. I understand it, you're not capable of it. This I understand. But what next? What to do next, if I don't understand? So ask for understanding. I'm not capable of keeping these laws. Well, what do you want me to do? To love 8 billion people? 8 million in my own country, I cannot love them. 8 people in my family, I hardly stand them. What am I going to do? Ask for the force of love. Of course you cannot. Why did nature do it in such a way? Very simple. In order for you to turn and ask, so then you will connect with the upper force in nature, and it will hand out the force of love to everyone, and everyone will become as one unit, everyone will be in one connection, and everyone will also be together with that single force of love. This means that we deliberately were created in such a way that we are egoists in order to understand that we cannot exist within our ego. These viruses are not going to lead us alone. Rather, we will have to more and more advance towards a state where we will understand that it's enough. Is written, tell our troubles enough and ask for correction. Rav Lightman, this is truly exciting, and something penetrated me like a little drop that came into my heart. Unfortunately, our time is over, so I'd like to ask you a last question with your permission. The question that I have to ask myself in a precise introspection is, what is the precise question that I have to introspect over personally? Right. Well, at least whether nature is truly demanding of us to be connected as one man in one heart with the force of love, that there is no difference between me and others. And my feeling is that there is no difference. I need to reach this integral system. So much so? Really? I should ask that. Thank you very much, Rav Leitman. Thank you very much for you being with us. A new life, we learn how to live well. All the best.